Now it's time for our first feature. This is our regular history, local history spot, brought to you by Richard Matthew, who has written and will read his article on mariner and explorer George Vancouver.
Norfolk has an extensive North Sea coastline with several ports, notably Great Yarmouth and King's Lynn, and historically many trading and cultural links with the Low Countries, today's Holland and Belgium. It's not surprising, therefore, that it's produced a number of famous mariners, Horatio Nelson being the most famous. But just as important, but rather less well known, is George Vancouver, born in King's Lynn of Dutch descent, who accompanied Captain Cook on his second and third expeditions to the Pacific Ocean. But Vancouver's claim to fame rests on his voyage on the Discovery from 1790 to 1795 to survey and map the coast of the American Northwest. George Vancouver was born in a thriving port of King's Lynn in 1757. His father, John, was a Dutch-born deputy collector of customs, and the surname Vancouver comes from Coevorden in the Netherlands. At 14, George left school able to read French and Latin. Through his father's influence and friendship with the Burney family, Vancouver joined Captain James Cook on his second voyage to the Pacific Ocean in January 1772. He was a quick learner and in 1776 was expert enough in navigation and seamanship to be promoted to senior midshipman when he joined Cook's third voyage to chart the northwest coast of America and today's Canada. Vancouver was present when Cook was killed in Hawaii, and he was in charge of the party that tried to recover Cook's body and played an important role in continuing the expedition and bringing Cook's ships back to England in 1780. The North American Pacific shore was one of the few in the Americas that was still relatively unknown to Europeans. And in 1789, it was decided to send another expedition to map the coast and to ascertain if there was a route from the North Pacific eastwards round the north of Canada and into the Atlantic. A suitable ship named Discovery was commissioned on the 1st of January 1790, and Vancouver was put in charge of the surveying expedition. In its first year, the expedition travelled to Cape Town, Australia, New Zealand, Tahiti and Hawaii, then known as the Sandwich Islands, collecting botanical samples and surveying coastlines along the way. Proceeding to North America, Vancouver followed the coasts of modern-day California, Oregon and Washington northward, including the coasts of what became much later the Canadian province of British Columbia, to Alaska. Most of this work was in small craft, propelled by both sail and oar, as manoeuvring larger vessels in uncharted waters was generally impractical and dangerous. Vancouver encountered many of the indigenous people on the coast, and his journals exhibit a high degree of sensitivity to them and to their culture. He also displayed contempt in his journals towards unscrupulous Western traders who provided guns to the native populations. He wrote, "I am extremely concerned to be compelled to state here that many of the traders from the civilized world have not only pursued a line of conduct diametrically opposed to the true principles of justice in their commercial dealings, but have fomented discords between the different tribes in order to increase the demand for these destructive engines." By that he meant guns. The ships returned to England in September 1795. It was the longest surveying expedition in history, over 4.5 years, and the distance sailed was approximately 65,000 miles, plus small boat excursions totalling some 10,000 miles. Although Vancouver failed to discover the Northwest Passage, his survey work was carried out with considerable accuracy comparable to Cook's, and he produced the world's most detailed maps and charts of the northwest coast, used by mariners well into the 19th century. Given the distances involved and the time away from home, it was important for him to have a tight grip of command on his ship, and during the whole time he was away, he only lost 4 crew members. He helped avoid scurvy on board by encouraging his crew to drink spruce beer and by landing every 6 weeks to pick up fresh supplies of meat and vegetables. Vancouver's expedition was the first to produce detailed charts of the waters around what is today the city of Vancouver on the west coast of Canada, and the city was named after him. He also has several other places and mountains named after him, including Vancouver Island, Vancouver in Washington State in the United States, Mount Vancouver on the Canadian-US border between Yukon and Alaska, and New Zealand's 4th highest mountain. Vancouver had various ailments, possibly linked to malaria contracted in the West Indies 20 years earlier, and he died in May 1798 when he was only 40 years old. While he died with little acclaim, today he is recognised as one of Britain's greatest mariners. Nelson's death at Trafalgar was only 7 years later. Perhaps his fame has tended to obscure that of Vancouver, whose achievements were arguably as historically important in the development of Britain's maritime power and international reach.
Thank you, Richard.